right? The purpose of the video really was very simple. I wanted to show the devastation that happened in Japan due to the tsunami. And every time I see it, I'm always just very just moved by the fact that the devastation there was just incredible. I mean, it was just incredible. The next slide that we have here, if you could imagine again a wave as high as that tree coming over towards you, and if you look in front, there's nothing there. There used to be homes there. It's just the foundation. If you go to the next slide, this one here. That's Nakano Elementary School, which is just about a half a mile away from where you saw those trees, maybe about a mile, half a mile. But it's not very far from where you just saw those trees. If you could imagine, the trees would be right about here. And this whole area used to have homes. It was destroyed by the tsunami. But apparently, Seaside Chapel happened to be in front of the school, and Seaside is probably somewhere more just right around here, because I took it from where the church used to be. But people said that, and this is both Christians and non-Christians alike, they said as they saw that tsunami coming over the wall, they saw it hit the church, and the church just completely fell apart. It just completely was demolished. But as it did that, they said the wave split in two, and as a result, the force of that wave was lessened. And so because of that church building, and as it was being destroyed, the force of that tsunami was slowed down, that by the time it actually reached the elementary school, nobody was killed, because it didn't reach the very top where all the kids were stuck on top of the roof. And so they said that it was a miracle that nobody was killed when that tsunami came over in that fashion. Naito Sensei, you know, has a very has some humor to him, and he just says, you know, I think God destroyed our church because we had too many barbecues. And so, but you know, he takes everything in stride, and in fact, his wife was the one that came to save him. And so, when she heard about the tsunami, she drove back home, and her husband was still working at the church. And says, we got to leave now. And as they left, they said that the tsunami was just coming right over the wall. So they were very, very grateful that they were still alive. Naito Sensei now meets in a building that's used for a cafe. I think if we go to the next slide. This is his new church. It's a converted cafe, or it's still a cafe, actually. It's a coffee house. And this is what it looks like inside. You can see the lectern in the back there against the wall. And he says it's not the most ideal place to have church, but he says after church we have a lot of good coffee. And so he was very excited to be there. They had a concert about a month after the tsunami, and he put out flyers to the community thinking, you know, maybe 20 people will come. But he said over 120 people came to this little building. People couldn't even all fit, and they were all, it was kind of overflowing. And he said that, you know, we never reached out very much to our community, but now we're doing that. And so you have pastors like Naito Sensei who see that this is a wonderful opportunity for them to reach out in midst of this disaster. This is one story of hope and really a snippet of what God is doing in Japan. GEMS, as a result of all this too, partnered with Campus Crusade and then the Pacific Coast Japanese Free Methodist Conference to send relief teams to Japan through CRASH, through the organization CRASH. And we sent three teams. They all have returned, and we were able to send them to different base camps in the Tohoku area. But, you know, that is really not enough. The rebuilding or the recovery of Japan is going to take years, if not decades. And in midst of this horrible disaster, God has opened up an opportunity for His body, for the church, to be able to rise up and be the hands and feet of Christ, especially to people who lost everything. They might have lost their homes, their cars, their jobs. Maybe they lost a loved one, their pets. And having visited the different areas that were completely devastated by the tsunami, I was really overwhelmed. They talk about secondary post-traumatic stress, and I really believe that's kind of what I endured as well as I was coming back, because I was crying for no reason. I was just very, very moody. My wife didn't like that too much, but you know, it was. I was trying to figure out, why am I feeling the way I was feeling? As I was on the bus, limo bus going back to Narita Airport from Tokyo, I really thought, you know, what can we do as believers, as the United States, as GEMS? You know, what can people do to help Japan? And I knew that one person, no matter how hard he or she tried, really probably wouldn't make a big difference. I mean, what is one person? You saw all that happen. What is one person? How can that one person make a difference? And because I was feeling a little depressed on the way home, I had my iTouch, and you know, whenever I'm depressed, I like listening to Christmas music, because I like Christmas, you know. And so I'm listening to Christmas music, and there's a Chris Tomlin CD, and hearing about the birth of Christ, and you know, just, I don't know, Christmas always makes me happy. And so as I was thinking about that, I realized, listening to the words of the songs, that God sent His Son into the world. And metaphorically, you know, the world was completely impacted by sin. It's as if there was a tsunami of sin that came in and just completely devastated the world. It just completely just messed up the world, right? In the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God and everything got messed up. And yet, how did God correct that? He sent one person, His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and to somehow start that change. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him," that is to Joseph in a dream, "and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophets, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' God with us." In John chapter 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." One person, Jesus, made a difference. This baby Jesus grew up. He taught a group of 12 men and women included as well. And then they were sent out later after he was crucified and rose from the dead. And those individuals changed the world. So, see, intellectually, I knew that Jesus Christ was the only hope or solution to what I saw in Japan. And that would mean, if you're to minister in Japan, that we minister one person at a time. But when I thought of all the different things that was there, just the devastation of seeing nothing but the foundation of homes, or you just see miles and miles of what used to be homes and schools and buildings and nothing there, I just thought, you know, really, what can one person do? Even if they're a Christian, what does one person do? You know, it won't make a difference. So I was sharing this with my wife, and she told me of her boss, my wife works at World Vision, you know, the other smaller mission agency. That's a joke. But as I was talking to her and telling her about, you know, this understand that, yeah, I know Jesus makes a difference and I know we can make a difference, etc. I told her, but you know, honestly, I just don't see how one person can make a difference. And she told me of her boss. Her boss's name is Grace, and she's originally from Uganda. And She came to the U.S., got her master's degree in public health, and now is the executive director of World Vision Southern California. The kicker is, though, you see, Grace was a sponsor kid. She grew up in Uganda, and somebody in the U.S. sponsored her through high school. And because of one family loving Grace in Uganda, now Grace is with World Vision in L.A., making a difference in Southern California. And you know, when my wife told me that story, and I still remember, we're in the living room, I just started to cry. I just started to weep because I realized at that point that God was trying to reaffirm in my heart to say that one person can make a difference. One person can make a difference in God's economy, in God's plan. For Grace, she now impacts various nonprofit ministries in the Los Angeles area because one family took interest in her. And now she is able to go ahead and make a difference in the communities of Los Angeles. My wife's boss says this. She says, our job is not to save everyone. But even if you impact one person, it makes a difference. And again, so when my wife was sharing this to me, I just started crying. And I thought, you know, okay, I get it. We can make a difference. Even if we're able to send one person to Japan, and in the name of Christ, if they're able to do stuff, we can make a difference. Brothers and sisters, if one person were to go to Japan to help with disaster relief, or if one person were to give finances to CRASH or Samaritan's Purse or all these different organizations that are out there, or if you have missionaries that are in Japan right now who have the connections, like the West, you know, if you give to them and they're able to do things there, in God's economy, God will do something with what we give. God will do something. And I will never understand, and I will never be able to figure out, and really I don't even ask God the question, why? Because I probably wouldn't understand it anyways. But I am convinced that God is doing something right now in Japan. That God is doing something right now in Japan, and a window of opportunity has opened up. And I was so excited in Los Angeles to hear, we had The Fish, 95.9 The Fish. It's a Christian radio station. And they were encouraging everybody while you're stuck on the 110 freeway or the 405 freeway, pray for Japan, pray for Japan. And I'm like, what? That's awesome that a Christian radio station is asking Americans to pray for Japan. When has that happened? You know, I've lived in LA since 1995. I've never heard them say, pray for Japan, until the tsunami hit. So I thought, God is lifting up the nation Japan, having Christians from all over the world praying for Japan. We had Jonathan Wilson, the guy who started CRASH, and he was telling us that his experience really is encouraging in that he does see Japanese people in the Tohoku area very open to the gospel. That people who are Ji-chans, Ba-chans, older people coming to know the Lord because of what took place. Because people are going in there and they're like, what are you doing here and who are you? Oh, we're Christians. And they're just going ahead and shoveling mud or muck or whatever it might be, and they're there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. They earn the right to be heard. And people are becoming Christians as a result of that. And so, from a missions organization standpoint, we're excited because we really feel that there is this huge door that's being kicked right open right now. But like in anything, slowly that door is going to close and we don't know how long it's going to be open. But we do know that right now it is open. And so we have an unprecedented opportunity to come alongside of the churches in Japan to encourage them, to uplift them in prayer, to provide bodies to help do things like, you know, clear out muck and do mold removal, etc. And so I just want to say, please pray for Japan. And if we can go to the next slide, it just says, please pray for Japan. The key thing that you'll hear if you talk to people who are working in Japan in the Tohoku area is that they'll say that the Japanese people don't need so much materials and food and everything else as much as they need one word, and that is hope. Kibo. and that the Japanese people in that disaster area, they need hope. They want hope. And the real true hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. When you lose hope, whether you're Japanese or American or whatever nationality you might be, when you lose hope in life, that's when you think about other things like suicide. And so the biggest concern now that Crash has is once you get further north into the Tohoku area, like Tono area, they've been doing relief work constantly, still doing relief work. They haven't really stopped. In the Sendai area, they're saying that it was relief, and now they're slowly doing recovery, where things are a little bit, you know, more settled. In the northern part, further north, they're still doing relief. The biggest concern they have now is when the snow starts to come, you can't do relief work. You have to stop. And so the concern is the Japanese people there will get depressed knowing that, well, we can't do anything. We still don't have a job. We still don't live anywhere. And they're afraid that the suicide rate is going to just skyrocket from the winter months, especially in the northern part of the disaster area. And so Crash is really trying to recruit Japanese people to go to that area to do kokoro no care, to do emotional care with Japanese people, to share the gospel with them, to be able to sit with them, to pray with them, to cry with them. But they need Japanese people to go and to help in that area. And so that's a big concern that they have. We read earlier Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. And, you know, I like to read it again. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they've sent, who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul wrote this in reference to his love for the Jews. Paul was killing Jews before he became a believer. He had a passion for righteousness, and unfortunately that meant for him killing Jews. But as he became a believer, he had a passion to tell the Jews about Jesus. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My request for all of us is that we would continue to pray for Japan. To pray for Japan. To pray for open hearts and for God to reveal Himself to those especially who might be contemplating suicide. Pray for your family members. All my relatives except for one cousin lives in Japan. All my relatives live in the Kagoshima area, in Tokyo, Chiba. And I have three relatives who are believers. And everybody else do not know Jesus. And so pray for your relatives who don't know Jesus. Pray that the churches in Japan can share the good news of the gospel. Pray for the pastors. The pastors who are in the Tohoku area, they've been working nonstop since 311. A lot of them have not taken any vacation. They haven't been able to time to do anything. And they're tired. They're emotionally tired. They're physically tired. And we need to be praying for the pastors that we're trying to send hopefully holiness pastors to help them. We have a retired pastor here. Maybe he would like to go. But there's ways in which we can pray for the Japanese pastors. Pray for the missionaries that you already support, that they would be used. I know the West go up to the Tohoku area as well. We have the Masons. They go to Ishinomaki. There's missionaries that you know that are helping in Japan. Pray for them. Pray that we can send more missionaries, whether they're 2 weeks, 3 years, or lifetime missionaries. And then perhaps you can pray and see if God might want you to go to Japan. Even for if it's 2 weeks. You could work in the Crash headquarters if you don't speak any Japanese, because a lot of it's done in English. If you speak Japanese, great. They'll put you on a kokoro no care team, and you can go and do hand massages in Koriyama and listen to stories and pray with them. There's lots of things that you can do as a bilingual individual. And then pray and see, perhaps you might want to partner with churches here in the Tucson area. Maybe that you can send a team of bilinguals and Caucasians to go to Japan to help in disaster relief. The feet of those who bring good news are indeed beautiful. And now is the perfect time to bring the good news to the Japanese people. My hope is that there would be a tsunami of the Holy Spirit that would descend upon Japan, and that it would start from the Tohoku area, and then it would go and spread beyond, and that Japan would experience a revival unlike none before. Remember that you can and that you do make a difference in God's economy. Let's become a part of the revival in Japan. Shall we pray together? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up the nation of Japan to you right now. Especially, Lord, for those who've lost loved ones, homes, cars, pets, everything that they had that was of an earthly belonging. We ask, God, that you would use the church there, the churches in Japan, to be your hands and to be your feet. That they would be able to give a warm hug or a listening ear or a hot bowl of miso, and that they would be used of you to be able to share your love in a very tangible way. And then as that happens, we pray for Kairos moments, Lord, moments that you would ordain, moments that you would go ahead and bring about, in which they would be able to boldly proclaim your word, boldly proclaim who you are, and that your Holy Spirit would ripen their hearts, that they would hear your words and respond, and that they would come to know you. Father, we pray for a revival in Japan. Lord, we know that that is indeed a closed country, maybe not politically, but Father, spiritually, we know that there is something there that prevents the Holy Spirit to work. And so we ask, dear God, that you would break down anything and everything that prevents your Holy Spirit from working in the hearts of those individuals there in Japan, that we would see a revival happening. We pray, Father, for the local churches there and for the pastors, that you would energize them, that you would give them passion and compassion, and that you would continue to use them to be able to reach out to those around them in their communities in a way that they've never done before. And then, Lord, for us here in the United States, I thank you for churches like the Tucson Church here, that people who come are both Japanese speaking and English speaking. And I ask, dear God, that you would use this church in a mighty way as well to reach out to Japan. That they would not forget where their relatives are, and that they would be able to continue to pray for them and even go there perhaps. Father, we do pray for Japan today. And we ask that you would do a mighty work in that country. And Lord, as we remember Japan too, though, we want to remember our own country. And we lift up the United States to you. We lift up President Obama to you. We ask that you would give him discernment and wisdom in the years ahead. Lord, we pray for the families too who lost loved ones on 9/11. Firefighters' families, law enforcement families, brokers, financial people, different people that were there. We pray for those families, that you would be comforting them, especially as I'm sure today must be a very bittersweet moment for them. And I ask, dear God, that you'd be watching over the young kids who might have lost their dad or their mom that day, and now they're adults, or that they're young adults, and that you would be able to use them as well to make a difference in this world. But Father, again, we thank you for this day, a day of remembrance, to remember 9/11, but also to remember 3/11. And Lord, may we be able to be a catalyst for change for you, both here and also in Japan. We give you thanks in your Son's name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.